On Sundays, I've started a series on Sundays, Framing Your Future with Your Mouth, based on the scripture we just read. That's our foundational text. And I am not going to, like, follow what I'm doing on Sunday morning on Wednesday night, but I want to bring in additional teaching around this same idea. In other words, you know, I started a list of things out of Genesis 1 Sunday. We'll be back on that on Sunday, because I know not everyone can be here on Wednesdays. Plus, we have some people that work on Wednesday nights and so forth. So I did not want to cause them to miss the teaching we're having on Sunday. But all of this is relevant and ties in. And so tonight, I'm going to share the teaching that I'm going to share with you tonight. When I was out walking yesterday morning and praying, just praying in the Spirit and walking and thinking on scriptures relating to what the Lord's been showing me out of this, I'm not going to tell you everything in my thought process as it was taking place, but the Lord just spoke to me because I was thinking about the power of His Word in our mouth and verbalizing things and how important that was. And this is what He said. I mean, I'm just walking. It was just so clear in my spirit. He said that worry is weed seed. Worry is weed seed. And we know the Bible teaches that our words are like seeds, that God's word is like a seed. We see that Jesus talks about the parable of the sowers in Matthew 13. A sower went forth to sow. He later tells us that that was the Son of Man, and that the seed he was sowing was the Word of God. And he says there's four different types of soils that seed fell upon. You know, the hardened soil, and the birds came. That was the enemy came and stole it. The rocky soil, it couldn't take root there. The thorny soil, it was choked by the weeds, the thorns and everything. And then the good soil that received it, and it produced fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. And so we have that metaphor in Scripture of the Word being like a seed. We will also see on Sunday how the seed that sprung up in the earth, that sprung up because God spoke. And we see that principle that our words, in Proverbs, we are told that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We just read out of Hebrews 11, God created everything that's been created. He framed the worlds together, put them into place by declaring His word. But when I got that that word, when I felt like the Lord saying, worry is weed seed, well, I understood immediately, of course, the context. You know, that when we're worrying, we're planting seeds. And it's just like weeds in a garden. It wants to choke the good word that we have. So I'm going to be stepping into Matthew chapter 6 tonight. I want to read this scripture. I'll put it up for you. Matthew 6, this is after Jesus has talked about the birds of the air and how the lilies of the field display their glory. And he goes on to say, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But notice, first of all, before I go on to the next text, therefore do not worry, saying. In other words, you express the toxicity of worry that's taking place in your mind by speaking it out your mouth. Therefore, do not worry, saying. In other words, you are expressing worry. You're expressing your anxiety. You're expressing your fear that I'm not going to take care of you. Your fear that I might not know your need. It's a minimization of God in our life. Because Jesus goes on to say, don't worry about the things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So he's talking about anxiety over your necessities seemingly going unmet. How am I going to make it to the end of the month? How am I going to pay these bills? Where are this week's groceries coming from? I don't have anything to wear. My car's torn up, and on and on. Those may be realities in your life, but what we're learning tonight is Jesus says it's important how you think about those things. And in addition, it is important what you are declaring about that circumstance, what you are prophesying about how that need may be met. So we're going to dive into that a little bit tonight. He goes on to say, should this be Matthew 6:33, but instead of doing that, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So this is just some basic teaching of Jesus. And with these scriptures in mind, let me share a few things with you. The first thing I want to share with you out of this is your mind often vents through your mouth. Do not worry saying, what's in the well comes up in the bucket, right? Or what's going on in the mind comes out the mouth. And so we're learning that we need to tap the brakes on that. You know, those things may be tumbling around inside of you, but they will gain momentum in your life and around your life and in your circumstance by you speaking that fear forth, by you speaking that anxiety forth. It's not saying don't make a need known. You know, this is about the disposition of our heart. It's not saying that there's not times that we might not need help, that we shouldn't be praying and asking God. We have scriptures for all of that. Again, it's about the motive of our heart and the fear and anxiety that is present that's causing us to turn away from the Lord to focus on the circumstance. And that's important for us to understand because worry begins in the thoughts that is turned into seed through the mouth. And we broadcast it into the lives of others. It can happen in our marriage. You may be having a good day, and then your spouse begins just giving the laundry list of all the things that are not going right and what are we going to do. And you can feel the pull, the warfare, the resistance in that. And again, there's right ways to make our needs known and a right approach and a right response. But we have to realize that often we vent our thoughts out what's going on in our mind, out our mouths. Worry is weed seed. So, what am I broadcasting? What am I sowing here? What am I sowing in my marriage? What am I sowing in the lives of my children? What am I sowing in my own life by what I'm saying? Because we're going to be looking at these scriptures a lot in this series about declaring out our mouth the Word of God that we put in our heart. We see this all through the scriptures. There's the Hebrew word in the Old Testament that is asad, and it means that word has the power to perform the promise it contains. But that works in the positive and the negative. God uses that principle, and the devil hijacks it, and he'll use it. He can be energized to do more in your life by you broadcasting those seeds. You're fertilizing what he wants to grow. You're empowering his design. But when we're speaking God's word in faith, then we're agreeing with what God's already said. If we're declaring his word, he's already said it. We're coming into agreeing with it, and we're using that authority of agreement to speak into our circumstance to shift and change it. And the enemy understands how this works, and that's the reason he will stir up our flesh. He'll get us frustrated. He'll get us into fear. He'll get us into doubt. He'll get us into unbelief, and we'll become broadcasting. But those seeds, we start doing that, you know, the more we do this, the more it becomes implanted in our thoughts. We learn by repetition. You say something enough, it begins to run those roots down. And worry is weed seed. So that fear and anxiety is planting seeds in your thought life that's going to crowd out the good stuff, take away from your life the things you need to make the good stuff multiply, and use it to increase the anxiety and fear and worry. This past Friday, I was out doing some yard work and blowing off the concrete and everything, and I noticed out of our garage, we got a concrete ramp that goes down, you know, our driveway, and then I have a brick retaining wall that the concrete comes up against. And I noticed there was a weed that had sprung up there. It was only about 6 inches tall, had a little green leaves on it. So I went over there and I yanked on it and stripped all the leaves off. And I looked, and there it was. It was about the size, the diameter of a toothpick. So I reached and grabbed it, pulled on it. Well, that little sucker is not going anywhere. I had to get down on my knees and get a better grip. And finally, I was able to pull it up by the roots. Now, it's just a little bitty crack. I don't even know how the seed got down in there. But how many hundreds of times I'd walk by that thing, and it was quietly out of sight. It was putting roots down and started shooting that thing out to manifest in the visible world. But it had become firmly rooted. And it took a lot of power to pull that little thing up. Well, that works that way in the natural realm, but it also works that way in the spiritual realm, in our thoughts. Have you ever had like a song stuck in your head? You know? There's a lot of research that goes behind a lot of the advertising. You know, those little jingles. That car's for us one. You know, when that used to play a lot on the radio. That I just turned it off when it came on because it had Velcro on it. Well, I get that thing out of my head. But the enemy wants us to rent space to him by sowing the seeds that agree with his design and plan for your life and let them become embedded and entrenched into our thoughts, into our minds. Then it can create a stronghold, and it's easier for lies to hide behind that now because it's getting crowded in there with things that cause you to be double-minded and have fear and doubt and unbelief. And just like faith, you know, you go from faith to faith. You get in the Word, you're growing, you want more of it. You want to grow, you get more of it. Well, it works that way in the negative. You get some fear in there and you entertain it and you court it long enough, then it conceives and takes root and starts, you know, growing. And so we have to be aware of what we're speaking. What we're speaking. And Jesus is very clear about this. The power of that little thing can cause big problems. Now, I'm a builder, and I have seen this, and y'all probably seen situations where a seed fell into the ground next to a house. Maybe a tree started up, and it started growing roots. And over time, it can literally move a house off its foundation. But it started with just a seed. And the enemy will look for those cracks like that little weed seed did in my driveway, and he'll try to thread one of those arrows right in that chink so it can take root. And next thing you know, anxiety, fear, you feel held hostage by circumstance. When the Word of God says, you know, we're to never be in that kind of situation. Let me share another thing. Not only that your mind often vents through your mouth, but let me talk a moment, just point out that worry is a popular sport. It's very popular. Jesus, he said it this way, for after these things, the Gentiles seek. In other words, this is the way the world works. You know, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? you know, what, how am I going to be clothed? That's the way the world operates. Because they don't have Heavenly Father taking care of them and assuring them. That's the way the world, it's popular to worry. Anxiety spreads. Listen, media makes billions of dollars off of using the motivator of fear. Yeah. And they can use it in a back doorway through FOMO, the fear of missing out. Everybody's got one of these, and there's only just a few left, and you got 2 minutes. You know, there's only three left. You know. You need, so we have to realize that one of the best salesmen there is our enemy. Try to convince you, well, you know, I know God's Word says this, but is that all the way back to the garden? Yea, hath God said? When that's happening, somebody else's voice is tracking your voice. Has God said? Questioning God. Questioning what God said. So worry is a popular sport. We get a lot of encouragement to worry in this world. And there will always be pressure behind it to push you to do something quickly, to do something radical. You know, faith can lead you to do that. Do something radical. You know, obey God and go for God. Well, the enemy knows that too, and he will use fear in that same way. Get you to work. Do something, step out, take a big step, a bold step, but a wrong step. All of that can come out of being overwhelmed with anxiety. So the third thing I want to share with you is worry works against the future blessing in your life. This whole passage tells us, you know, Jesus is really clear about do not worry. And with the other places in Scripture, we're in Matthew 6 tonight. Worry will weaken your walk with God. Worry will wreak havoc in your mind. Worry will wreck your health. And worry will steal your future from you. It's got that capability. And Jesus says, Don't live in fear about what's going to happen tomorrow. Take care of what's right in front of you. Faith is now. God gives us grace when we need it. You don't need it till tomorrow. You won't get it till then. So it's wasted energy. It's wasted focus to worry. That doesn't mean, again, it does not mean that there are not some things we should do, and I'll end the message with that. But I want to talk a moment about how worry works against the future blessing in your life. He says in verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. In other words, the future. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So worry is tomorrow-oriented. It's placing... You're literally, when you're worrying today, you're placing an order for additional trouble tomorrow. It doesn't eliminate your trouble. It adds to your trouble. It doesn't minimize your load. It adds weight to the load you're carrying. Worry is not your friend. Don't hang out at Worry Motel. Don't stand in worry waiting line. Nothing good's going to happen there. It will work against the future blessing that God has ordained for your life. It's like paying debt on a loan that you've never taken out. It's like using up your bullets way before the war even starts. It makes no sense. It's vain. It's futile. It's useless. It's believing the worst is going to happen instead of believing God is going to work all things together for good. It's like calling for the ambulance before an accident ever happens. Worry is used by the enemy to get you to prophesy destruction on your tomorrows. Worry is used by the enemy to get you to preach fear and rob tomorrow of the blessing that may be waiting for you. So we have to recognize our enemies. In the Old Testament, part of covenant blessing was your enemies that are coming at you will be scattered seven ways, right? Well, one of those enemies is called worry. And when it's coming at you, you've got to remember the blessing of God on your life so you can send it away from you in seven ways. In other words, you're going to bust it up, annihilate it. You are men and women of God. You have the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you. There's power in your tongue, the power of life. There's blessing in your mouth, the power to bless. If you didn't have it, Jesus wouldn't command you to bless those who persecute you. You've got it. You've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to access it by faith. You need to learn all that that entails by reading the Word. It's so very, very important. Now, I'm not saying that we don't deal responsibly with our responsibilities. I'm not saying, well, if you've got something you're supposed to do and you're not able to do it, just don't worry about it. No, I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm just saying worry is not going to help you to get it done. It will delay you getting it done. It will increase what has to be done because now you're going to have to deal with wrong mindsets and overcome that to get to the point where you can get your breakthrough. Worry is weed seed. I remember a joke I heard one time of a man, he was just worrying himself sick. He just couldn't manage everything going on in his life, and he was a businessman, and he was talking to some guys, and the guy says, "You're just worrying yourself to death. You need somebody to do your worrying for you." And he said, "I'll tell you what, I'd pay somebody to do it." And the guy said, "Well, I'll do it for you. How much you pay?" He said, "I'll pay you $20 an hour. I'll pay you $800 a week if you'll just do my worrying for you." "Well, I'll sign up for that." So that guy just went around with him all week and just thought about all the things he needed to be worried about. And the businessman, he kind of liked that. He thought, I might have him do this anymore. Friday came, the man that was supposed to get paid for worrying said, "Well, this is a lot harder than I thought it'd be. I mean, I found myself getting worked up about all the stuff you've got to come up with and all the stuff you've got to do. But it's worth it. You can give me my check now for $800. And the man said, "I don't have $800. "Well, how are you going to pay me?" "Well, I'm going to let you worry about that." It never pays you to worry. Or maybe correctly, the pay you're going to get for worrying is not going to be paid. It's going to help you, right? It will rob you of tomorrow's blessings. And the last thing I want to share is this scripture tells us that you can shift your faith. Well, it's not the last thing, but next slide. You are to shift your faith toward the right kingdom. This is the last thing. You will shift your faith toward the right kingdom. Because he says in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, I've been seeing 6:33 a whole lot on the clock. Look down at my watch. Just you know, sometimes that happens just randomly, and it's like every time you look, you're seeing the same thing. And this is one that's been happening to me a lot. I want to tell you my most life-changing 6:33 story. Back when I was had just been filled with the Holy Spirit as a Baptist preacher, this would have been in 1997 and 98, 99, those 2 years I was still pastoring, but I'd encountered the power of God in a way I never had before. And the Lord had started to deal with me about stepping out in faith, not pastoring the way I'd been pastoring for 15 years. And so we were thinking through that, and I was sharing it with Mickey and just praying it, and I went through a process of getting clarity. But one day, when I was literally in the shower, and I was just pouring my heart out, I was talking to the Lord, just sharing my heart, and it was one of those times when I heard Him so very, very clearly. And he said, if you'll seek my person and my power, you'll have my provision. Matthew 6:33. Of course, I had memorized that scripture, and I thought, well, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah, Lord, that's right out of your word. I know that's you. And then he followed that with something else that I'm not going to share publicly. When he shared that, because it was such a intimate, tender thing, I just started weeping. But I want to tell you something. I don't have time to go into all the testimony. We ended up stepping out. We had no provision in the natural. We didn't have a place to live. We even needed a new vehicle. We didn't have appliances. I wouldn't have health insurance or any of that stuff. But the Lord told me when we were praying this season, if you'll step out, you will not step down. You will step up. And I will testify before you this night that God kept His promise, because He brought things from the realm I couldn't see, from people I didn't know, and He provided our family's needs, and He provided more than I had been provided for before by a very large church that was taking good care of me. It was amazing to see God stretch forth His powerful hand and do those things. And it was a season of boot camp training us what it meant to live by faith, to operate in faith, to not be moved by what your eyes see, but be moved by what God's Word says, to learn not to say what we're seeing, but learn to not repeat, you know, our circumstance and saying what we're seeing, but realizing that when you start seeing it, just start saying it. And then you'll start seeing it in the natural, when you see it in the Word, when you see it by the Spirit. And this learning to operate how the visible realm and the invisible realm works together, and the natural realm, the spirit realm, works together through the operation of faith and trust in God. So we have to shift our focus to a kingdom focus. And that's so very, very important. Toward the right kingdom. Every person in the room, every person in the city, every person in the state, every person on the planet is serving one of two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And those of us who are the believing ones have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son. Our King is Jesus Christ. He is the King of the kingdom. He rules and reigns in our hearts. And when we share the message of what He's done and who He is through the gospel, and people receive that into their heart and respond in faith, the kingdom expands one soul at a time, one salvation at a time. When someone's bound by Satan and they are set free through the power of God's Holy Spirit, then that person has experienced kingdom power, liberating them from one domain and positioning them in another domain. This is how the kingdom operates. When Jesus came, He came declaring the kingdom of God. And so we need to shift our mindset so that what we do represents His kingdom. We don't need to be sowing weed seed in our heads, in the heads of other people. We don't need to be sowing fear. We don't need to be sowing deception. We're not got the right kingdom focus when we're doing that. We are in hypocrisy when, as inhabitants of the kingdom of God, we are broadcasting the message the enemy wants broadcasted. We've been hijacked. Somebody has hacked us. And information's going out from us that we don't want going out from us. So we need to renounce that. Stop that. And I doubt there's few, if any, in the room, that at times we're guilty. It's just so easy to do, right? To let that natural man rise up and start directing how we're going to think about a situation and what we're going to say about a situation. But we want to be those who are pure in heart, that we get the pure extract of the Word and get it rooted and grafted and implanted in us so that we can speak forth that Word so it'll bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's the way we see increase. So let me Let me just leave this with you quickly. Set your will to do His will and declare His kingdom. The Lord's Prayer, which is also in Matthew 6. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Now notice this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Right? And then we go through the next 2.5 verses. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And how does it end? For Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. So it begins by acknowledging that God is our Father, and it's His kingdom that we want to see manifested in earth. And it begins with declaration, not request. Because in the Greek, it's imperative. It's like, kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. It's like you begin that Lord's Prayer hallowing, honoring your Father, His name over everything. And then you declare, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Now you're operating as a son of daughter in the earth, as an under-regent with God-given authority, and announcing the kingdom. And when you're praying, you're announcing it over your own life too. And I've shared with you that that's a practice of mine. When I wake up in the morning, when I get up, I go to my knees and I pray the Lord's Prayer. And I've instituted that. That's part of my morning routine. And even this morning, the Lord just called my attention to this, that it starts with this declaration of kingdom authority, and it ends by our reminding ourselves, it's all Yours, Lord. It's Your kingdom, and it's Your power, and it's Your glory, and it will always be that way. I'm aligning my life with You. I hallow Your name. I want Your will to be done on this earth as it's being done in heaven. So I want to obey Your will. I want to see it manifested in my life. I know You're my provider. You're going to provide my daily bread. I'm asking for that. I know You're my source of forgiveness. And I also know that You're going to forgive me in the same way that I forgive other people. So I need to model kingdom forgiveness by forgiving people the way You forgive me. Because how I do this horizontally directly affects what I'm getting vertically. And I'm trusting You to guide me. In other words, You, not to guide me into temptation, but guide me into truth. And deliver me from hapanaros in the Greek, the evil one. He's talking about a personage. Yes, the devil's real. And part of that Lord's Prayer is I want to represent Your kingdom. And so keep me from temptation and keep the devil away. Because it's Your kingdom, Your power, Your glory. And a lot of that temptation is from the devil is to get us doing stuff like worrying, get under fear and get under anxiety, get depressed or under oppression, to lose the power of our voice, not understand our authority. We need to know our identity. We need to know our authority. So we need to set our will to do the will of God in His kingdom and study the Word, so that you can prophesy your future. Lord, I thank You that Your kingdom is coming into my sphere, that Your will is being done. I thank You that You're providing. You are a provider. You know, whatever your area is that you're worrying about, begin to declare the kingdom of God over that. The rule and reign of God over that circumstance. Declare what God's Word says about that circumstance. Lord, I'm so angry I could... But I know that's not right. I am not going to sin. I'm not going to sin with my anger. I bless that person that just cursed me out. I'm going to do good for them. Lord, I pray that You would bless them, that You would open up things for them, that they would know how much You love them. You see, You're getting the upper hand now on that anger. You're putting it under the authority of God's Word. You're aligning who you are with who God says you are, not what your biology and your genetics and all your history has informed that you can do when you're left to yourself. You are not by yourself. Your Lord, Your King has promised He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. You are a kingdom warrior with kingdom authority, with a sword in your hand, the Word of God. So Lord, You take that and You cut through and prophesy the future. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. My God is in charge of tomorrow. And he's never out of money. He never gets sick. He's never at a loss of what to do. And he's guiding me, not only today, but into my future. He's already got it planned out for me, and the plans he has for me, they are good and not evil. And so you get that fear under your feet and under the authority of the Word, and you take that promise that God has waiting on you in faith. I don't think we can overestimate how important it is for us to manifest God's truth in our lives by what we believe and what we say and the steps of obedience that we take. So instead of worrying about your problem, begin to declare God's promise over your problem. That's so important. Use your faith and pray to God. Instead of literally placing your faith in worry, you place your faith in God. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. It'll have its own trouble. See, Jesus doesn't deny there's not trouble there to be dealt with, does he? He said, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But he's with you today. He's with you right now. He's not bailing out on you because, oh my goodness, you've got yourself in such a mess, I'm out of here. No. He's always there, and he's always more than enough. I want you to stand with me, and I declare over you tonight the Word of God, that your Father in heaven is watching over your life. I declare over you tonight God's Word, that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I declare over you tonight that the power of anxiety and oppression and everything that's bundled up in you because you've been responding wrongly, we bring it under the authority of the Word of God and the Spirit of God right now. As you agree in faith, we just bring it under the authority of God's Word and God's authority in your life as a believer. And in the name of Jesus, renounce it. Say, I renounce this. No longer will I be enslaved to this anxiety, this fear, or this worry. I renounce it. I put it under my feet in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare I am free from it. I am going to continue in this Word. And I am going to hide God's Word in my heart. And I am going to speak it into my mouth. And the mountains will move. And the walls will fall. And the giants will be beheaded. And the enemy will be routed, and I will rise up in resurrection power and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday night. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come up and be here to pray with any of you who need prayer. Please pray for our services coming Sunday. We're going to be back continuing what I started this past Sunday. And I'm going to be sharing with you this first order principle out of the book of Genesis about innovation and creativity. And I believe it's going to be a powerful word for you to better understand how God has equipped you to take what already is and add to it what God shows you by revelation and innovate. And release creativity and see things change that will benefit you and others. So it's really about your identity and who you are and how to operate in that. We'll be looking at that on Sunday morning. Father, thanks for this time tonight. Thank you for your Word. Bless those who come forward for ministry. We just declare, Lord, may this church go forth to the nations. And may people come here from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west in order to fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for this fellowship, for this city, and this region. In the glorious name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. This altar's open. If you need prayer, please make your way forward. Have a wonderful week.